Praise God. God is good and his mercies endure forever. God has an encouraging word he wants to give for the month of February. As we celebrate this month of love, Valentine's is drawing close as well. Jesus tugged to my heart to share what he's wanting to do prophetically in this month. In January, I gave a prophetic word of what God was doing for the year of 2023. And I'll encourage you to watch it because we'll be unpacking that word each month and sharing, just like we're doing here. This was part of the encouraging word, and I'll be sharing with you the Lord's heart. Now, this month, God is wanting us to be intimate with him and seek him with all of our hearts. You know, even though this is a year of the Lord's favor, and we'll be talking more about that and sharing in another video, as well as God is bringing about revival in the church, and he's calling many of us to evangelize about it. God shared that in order to bring about his will in our lives, we need to spend time with him and make him our first priority. That's what this word's all about. Are you ready to deepen your spiritual journey and strengthen your relationship with God? Intimacy with God is a journey of seeking him with all of your heart, making him your closest friend, and allowing him to guide your life. In 2023, God is calling on us to come before him, to make him the center of our lives, and to dedicate each time, each day, in time and prayer, to seek him, to read our Bible, to worship, to meditate on his word day and night. Just like the woman in the book of Luke who searched for the lost coin and rejoiced when she found it, we too can rejoice when we find God through our pursuit of him. He promises to be found by those who seek him with all of their hearts. And by enthroning Jesus in our hearts and minds, we'll bring him before the world and honor him with reverence and gratitude, granting him his rightful place of authority in our lives. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? The Lord's going to be tugging on your heart. He's going to be tugging on you to share part of your testimony as part of this. And he's going to want you to share it with the world. As we make him our rightful place, as we start worshiping him, he's going to be bringing people across your path. So you're ready, because as we worship him and seek him again, we'll find him. So let's start this journey together and deepen our relationship with God in 2023. So what does it mean to have an intimate relationship with God? A lot of people feel foreign about this and they really don't know what it means. I'll encourage you, if you haven't read some books out there, there's some great ones that are offered. I'll share with you at the bottom of the blog or the video. You're not here, but you know, on the blog, you'll be able to see a couple of references there, as well as I'll encourage you that this month is a special month. Throughout the month of February, we have a vision, or actually what we're looking for you to do is spend 28 days with the Lord as part of this intimacy with him, and go through the Gospel of Matthew. There's 28 chapters that are there. So go through each chapter each day. And I'll encourage you to do some Bible study, research it, ask the Holy Spirit, lead and guide me into truth. And this is going to help you deepen your relationship, because you're actually spending time with Jesus Christ and reading about his lifestyle and what he did. And he'll be ministering and speaking to you about himself as well as you are learning about him. So I'll encourage you, please start this month out starting today, the very first day that you're going to spend 28 days and getting to know the Lord better by reading the Gospel of Matthew. An intimate relationship goes beyond just being a believer, guys. You know, it's just, you know, just not going to church on Sundays, you know, or, you know, twice a year. It's about getting to know his character and allowing him to guide our life. As we go through this spiritual journey, we're going to see God give us a deeper understanding of his will for our lives. In 2023, we'll also see it's a new season. God's doing a new thing as part of this, and he's calling on us to make him that center as part of it. Psalms 22:3 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praise of Israel." And as we come before God with gratitude, he will be enthroning our hearts and our minds. And by embracing Matthew 6:33 and seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, all of these things will be given to you as well. Gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his will for us. Immersing ourselves in the Bible will bring clarity and direction to our lives. So let us honor the Lord by worshiping him, praising him, and he will be enthroned in our souls, giving us great power and authority. That's what he did for the disciples. You know, they spent time in worship. You know, one of the things that he shares that they were doing a bit of worship and praise, you know, before going before the Garden of Gethsemane. And so they were just doing some honoring and worshiping the Lord. So that's what we're going to be doing here. We're going to be giving the Lord our reverence. And as he does, he's going to be coming through with joy. And we're going to allow him to guide us and bless us as we continue to seek him. So how do we spend time in prayer increase our, how does spending time in prayer increase our intimacy with God? Prayer plays a crucial role in enhancing our intimacy that we have with God. It allows us for a personal connection with the divine, our Heavenly Father, as it serves as a way for us to share our thoughts, receive love and wisdom, and get guidance. Jesus taught the importance of prayer as part of this and demonstrated how to pray through his teachings on the Lord's Prayer, the model of a prayer of faith, and the persistence in prayer. The Lord's Prayer serves as a simple but yet profound way to talk to God with reverence and humility. While the model of prayer of faith highlights the power of confidence and persistence prayer. The persistence in prayer, as taught by Jesus, encourages us to keep asking, seeking, and knocking until an answer comes from heaven. Now, I would encourage you here with these three prayer strategies. If you haven't learned them, please learn about them. They're going to be imperative in your ministry, imperative as you seek the Lord. You know, and we're praying, you know, if you haven't learned how to pray, then when we come to him as a friend and father, we can actually have him heal brokenhearted issues. We can ask him to help us and direct our lives, help us in every way that we can, that we feel that there might be some demonic oppression or blockage. Again, when we're doing this, we're just coming to him as friend. We're knocking on the door. And that's what our training about spiritual warfare through inner healing's about. It's coming before Jesus as friend and father, and it's free. And we always bless the body of Christ with this training because we need to understand how to get our victory. It will help you with demonic oppression, feeling blocked, if you're feeling depressed, having some physical issues. But whatever you think is not of the Lord, more than likely, it's not of the Lord, you know, because he only gives us good gifts. So he's going to be tugging on you to say, hey, bring these issues up. And rather than just praying, hey, Jesus, take this away from me, you know, a lot of times there's something behind it that the Lord wants to take care of and heal. So he'll search your heart. He'll reveal to you where some of these open doorways are. And he'll tug on you and say, hey, that needs to get healed. And this is why you have blockage. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, that unforgiveness towards my mom, you know, or, you know, what my friend said to me or whatever, the Lord will do. And he will help you as part of that. And that's what that training is going to help you do. And I walk you through it and give you examples of others getting freedom, as well as if you want to take it to the next level and seeking the Lord, you can seek him and try to get deliverance over your issue. And check out our self-deliverance training. It includes the self-inner healing, that spiritual warfare training, as well as coming before Jesus very specifically as judge for deliverance only and getting some freedom. And so it's quite interesting. I'll encourage you to check that out. Lastly, if you've been knocking, seeking, asking, you've been doing everything you can, you want to go to the next level and you want breakthrough, coming before Jesus as judge, and knocking on that door consistently, like that persistent widow woman in Luke 18, will help you get that additional freedom. And Jesus shares, this is the quickest way for us to get our prayers answered. So you can learn how to get all of this and get discipled on how to pray and bring these issues up. By the way, Jesus gave these prayer strategies to his disciples because he knew they were going to be persecuted and that they needed his help by seeking him in prayer. You know, that's why when someone says, hey, it didn't work, you know, I go, well, pray again. You know, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Because Jesus didn't share when we get our answer and the coming to us, right? He just said, just keep on knocking. At some point, our shameless persistence will open this doorway. Well, the story of Daniel is an example of the impact that prayer can have in our relationship with God. Despite facing persecution, just like the disciples, Daniel remained steadfast in his faith by praying and seeking the Lord three times a day. This is an encouragement for you guys. Seek the Lord three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, seek him. You know, if you're going to eat three times a day, you should seek him three times a day and get all the wisdom that you can. This time spent in prayer allowed David to receive power from the Lord. He received powerful revelations as well and guidance from our Heavenly Father. This helped to deepen his relationship with God as well by dedicating intentional and persistent prayer. We can become more aware of God's presence in our lives and recognize our dependence on him. This will help us grow closer to God, experience his love and guidance, and increase our intimacy with him. Just like Daniel, we can focus solely on God in prayer, putting aside the distractions and allowing ourselves to be uplifted and sustained by his love. I want to share with you about those distractions here, because a lot of times it's going to happen. You know, right before I'm doing this, you know, here I am. You know, I got my phone here, and it's going off like crazy. You know, things going on in the ministry, people wanting to get a hold of me, and the Lord saying, yeah, get away from all of it, Tim. Turn all the distractions off. Put your phones on do not disturb, and dedicate this time to me. You know, of course, before praying and seeking the Lord, turn it off, all off right before you get ready to do your video. But the Lord said, you know what, Tim, I need you to turn it off before the video comes on because these distractions can take you away from what I'm trying to accomplish for you today. Tim, this is my day and I need you focused on me. And so it's important to listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit about these things. So it may be your phone, it might be your TV, your tablet, your computer, you know, your spouse, you know, your kids, whatever. And get away in your prayer closet and in your little prayer warrior area and your secret place and get away from all the distractions and say, Jesus, you got me. You know, sometimes, you know, when we were having everyone living with us, that time was in the bathroom. I close the door, lock it, turn on the water. And Lord, I need help. I got a sermon Sunday. Help me, Jesus. You know, I can't hear your voice. Too many people talking to me. And so he'd come through and talk and minister to me during that quiet time. And I was uplifted and I was away from those distractions and he sustained me with his love as part of that. So it's important for us to get that time away make sure that we put it on our schedule. This is something else the Lord was sharing here. He wants it on your schedule. And if you're a schedule person, then he's going to say, put it inside your calendar and make it part of it. That, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, or, you know, before you start your day. When you do your lunch or after your lunch or whatever, he's going to ask you to spend lots of time with him, as well as commune with him. Instead of, you know, just mumbling or just talking to yourself, talk to the Lord about what's going on. I guarantee you he's listening. And, we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And so, as well as we're seeking counsel from him, he will come and we'll recognize it according to God's word. You know, Jesus shared that our Heavenly Father only gives us good gifts, you know, so some crap stuff that makes you feel bad. More likely the Lord's saying, hey, I'm trying to grab your attention. You know, even though you're trying to get focused on me, I want to heal some things. You know, our memories get focused away from what's going on. And we feel tormented, you know, it's a good indication that the Lord's trying to do something. Again, whatever's pure, holy, just, praiseworthy, honorable, of a good report. These are the things we're going to be focusing our attention on. And if it's not that, then the Lord's probably grabbing our attention and saying, hey, you know, get this healed. I'm trying to grab your attention, you know, bring it before me as friend and father. Do self-inner healing or do spiritual warfare training. Trust in him and he'll help you in that process. Again, we're not doing it in our power and our strength, by the way. A lot of people are like, hey, I'm going to fight the enemy, you know, and beat him up, you know. And I remember one of our youth pastors who was just very zealous. He was like, I'd fight the enemy, like physically, you know. And I'm like, oh, wow, all right, this is pretty wild here. And I go, yeah. And I'm like thinking, you know, but we wrestle not against, you know, flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, rulers of this dark age. But he was just so zealous for the Lord. And we don't have to fight it in our strength or our power. Again, we're depending on Jesus through his righteousness, you know, asking for forgiveness. Now we're made right before the Lord and right standing before God, using God's word and authority. You know, Jesus says that his name has the power and authority to do so much, you know, to even cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. And so when we call on his name and we exercise our faith and use it to heal brokenhearted issues, demonic oppression, the Lord's really wanting to do a lot. And that's what this healing, as well as this relationship, is going to be about with him in this month. The Lord's wanting to heal brokenhearted issues, and we'll be bringing issues up. And I'll encourage you again, please do our free training on spiritual warfare 3 and your healing, because Jesus is really going to use this to help you to come before him and just use our easy steps to walk through to get that freedom as part of that. So what is the importance of worship in deepening our intimacy with God? Worship plays a crucial role in enhancing our bond with God, and its demonstration of our affection and reverence for him helps us to connect with him in a deeper level. When we participate in worship, we can sense his presence and increase our intimacy with him. I feel like the Lord said, hey, Tim, stop on this one here and share a little bit more about participating in worship. You know, on Sunday, we went to our church, and the youth were doing their outreach, and they were leading worship. Mm-hmm. And so worship was a little bit different, not the style I'm used to. And, you know, a couple of kids were off key. And so you're like, oh, you know, and some of the things were, you know, the microphone, and you can hear the feedback. So, it's, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, my goodness gracious, it's hard to concentrate. It's hard to participate in this. And the Lord says, Tim, I want you to press through. Even though, you know, you can listen to all your favorite worship and get into my presence, I want you to do it here at church before the body of Christ. Tim, I want you to sing. Belt it out. Who cares who hears you? Just sing. You know, and so that's what I did. I came before the Lord. I participated in worship. And at that time, I sensed the presence of God, and it increased my intimacy with him. So I pushed through, even though my flesh said no, or it wasn't what I wanted to hear. The Lord says, just worship me, Tim, and get your focus off of them, and just worship me. David, who rose from being a simple shepherd to a king, comprehended the significance of worship in his relationship with God. You know, how many psalms did he write? Too many, a lie. You know, I'm not going to say too many. But he wrote numerous of psalms, including Psalm 63, where he expresses his love for God and his aspiration to him to worship him. David worshiped God, and it was able to strengthen his relationship with him, and he could feel his presence in a more tangible way. This was the king of Israel, starting out as a shepherd boy, you know? And that's what the Lord loved about him. He loved him so much and said that he's a man after my own heart, because he kept coming back to the Lord no matter what he did. You know, what he sent his best friend to die on the front line so he can sleep with his wife. You know, so, you know, David wasn't perfect. He was imperfect just like we are. He made mistakes. You know, when someone says, I've done too much, and I said, really, you've done too much. You know, did you send your friend to die, you know, on the front line so you can sleep with his wife? No. And I go, well, you haven't done too much. Did you betray Jesus, you know, like Judas? You know, How about, betray him three times, but like Peter did before the cock crowed, you know? The Lord says he loves to bring forgiveness, and we've never done too much that he can't forgive. He forgave them all and still used them. What about Jonah? He didn't want to listen to the voice of God and rebelled against the Lord and said, those people are stupid. I don't want to deal with them, God. And God says, you're going to listen to me. You're the prophet. No. What happened? He got swallowed by a whale, Got spit up. All right, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. So, he'll provide a way for us, by the way, and strengthen us. And so that's what happened with David. He strengthened his relationship with the Lord by worshiping him. And worship provides us with an opportunity to express our appreciation and thankfulness to God for everything that he's done for us. If you're alive, you need to be appreciative. Did you eat yesterday? Well, he provided for you. Well, it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted steak, I wanted lobster, I'm eating rice and beans. Did you eat? I sure did. God provided for you, Be thankful for what he's done in your life today. This could include thanking the Lord through songs, through praying, through reflecting about his love, what he's provided for you. Hey, thank you for my car. Thank you for the shirt that I'm wearing. Thank you for the nice long beard, my glasses. Thank you, Lord. Reflecting on these things, this thankfulness is a gratitude that the Lord really loves in us. And we need to think about his faithfulness that he's already come through and his promises. And when we concentrate on God's qualities, our hearts, our minds are more open to him, leading to a deeper, more meaningful experience of his presence. That's one of the things that, that brings in the peace of God. Our hearts and minds are steadfast on Christ. It surpasses our understanding what's going on, the circumstances. Our hearts and minds are steadfast on the Lord. And as it's steadfast, then he says, perfect, I'm glad. You're steadfast on me. This is going to lead to a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him and experience as well as presence. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a prime example of worship through gratitude and thankfulness. Her song of praise, recorded in Luke 1, 46 through 55, was a demonstration of her unwavering faith in God and appreciation for his blessings. As she worshiped, Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just like she was like worshiping, and all of a sudden she's singing this song about the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He sent his Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father sent him the Holy Spirit. She was pregnant with the baby. Jesus is inside of her, the Son of God. And here is, he's saying, hey, I'm sending my Holy Spirit to you because you're worshiping me. And you're giving me adoration. You're adoring me. You're giving me honor and praise. The Holy Spirit came. And he came to her and gave her a relationship to have even a stronger relationship with the Lord. Again, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of his own accord or his own will. He only speaks of the Father and the sons. And so that's what he's doing. He's saying, hey, this is what the Lord wants to do. And so a lot of times what will happen is in our lives, we live such a fast-paced life, we can easily get sidetracked by responsibilities and distractions. It happens to me a lot. I get so busy, doing ministry work that sometimes I'll forget to pray or forget to spend time with the Lord. Worship offers a moment of escape for these distractions and concentrate solely on God. This time is meant to calm our thoughts and our emotions and allow God to guide and speak to us. Now, Elijah's story on Mount Carmel exemplifies the importance of prioritizing God and disregarding distractions in our journey to deepen our relationship with him. Elijah, a prophet of God, was met with opposition from false gods worshipped in the land, and he arranged a public demonstration to show the power of the true God. Imagine this one here in today's time. Wow, that'd be something else. Hey, y'all, you other gods, here's a power of demonstration from my God. So what he did is he climbed to the top of the mountain, had to go pray, spend time with our Heavenly Father. He ignored all the distractions, all the people laughing at him. Oh, your God's not this. Your God's not that. He can't do this. You know, who is he? You know, my God's better than your God. Whatever it was, you know, poking fun. Whatever those distractions were, whatever persecutions they were sharing with him, he got rid of the distractions and solely focused on God. Now, he got away because he went to a secret place. This is something important here. He got away to his secret place. He got away from the distractions. And so the Lord's going to tell you a lot of times to go to your secret place. Go to your prayer closet. There, Elijah requested for God's presence to be made known. And then fire descended from heaven, burning up his offering, which showed the might of our one true God, our Heavenly Father, Adonai, Elohim, you know, Yahweh, you know, Yeshua. He is the great I am. And this act of God caused the people to fall on their knees and acknowledge the Lord as the only true God. Now, the story of Elijah instructs us to speak God's presence, you know, instructs us to speak and to seek God's presence. It instructs us to do this, to seek him, to speak it out. I want your presence, Lord. I want your presence, and I'm going to seek it out, to seek God's presence and listen to his voice. When we ignore the distractions and concentrate on him, he will demonstrate his power and might, similar to what he did to Elijah's experience. Now, I want to share with you, a lot of times when I'm bringing people through inner healing, they'll see that they'll share their story. And as soon as they're done sharing their story, then I'll say, hey, can we bring this before the Lord and get him to heal it? He's going to take you back to the memory and the emotion's going to come up. Just walk through the steps with me. And so they walk through the steps. Jesus, I divide soul and spirit. I call on your name and authority. Will you heal this part of me? Yes, I choose to forgive my mother for what she did to me. Help me, Lord, because it's hard for me to forgive her. I choose to forgive her by faith. Jesus, will you minister and speak to me about this issue now? And immediately, when they're done saying that, we wait for a moment. You have to say no more. We're just waiting on Jesus to come. And then I ask him, Jesus, will you come? Will you heal this brokenhearted one? Will you let them know that they're loved by you? Give them confirmation, Lord, that they can move on. And Jesus shows up in one of three ways to give freedom. By hearing his voice, the sheep know his voice. Two, they might have an encounter with the Lord, and he'll give them confirmations. He sealed it. Lastly, they don't hear or see Jesus. He's working behind the scenes like this centurion man, and he sent his word and already healed them. So we've got to pay attention to those emotions. And then I'll say, what? Immediately, right after that, tell me what Jesus is doing. And they're like, well, he's taking the pain away. I see Jesus now. You know, each person's different because their experience with the Lord. The Lord's doing something different each one. One of them says, I don't know. I don't feel anything. I go back to the memory. See if Jesus took away the pain. Oh my gosh, the pain's gone. Jesus took away. There's nothing there. It's all fuzzy. It's hazy. You know, it feels cloudy. Well, praise God. Before you were ready to cry or you were ready to, you were upset because of what they did. And now there's no pain. There's no pain. So Jesus will always bring peace to this area. So that's what he'll do. So he'll show up in one of those three ways to give us that confirmation so that we can move forward. And one of the things I shared there is because I want you to expect that from the Lord. So the same thing that happened to Elijah here, where God demonstrated his power and his might for Elijah, and when he heals that brokenhearted issue, you're going to expect that the Lord will do this and that he'll set you free and that you can move on. And it won't bother you no more. That story of what happened here with Elijah was a story of a powerful reminder to seek God's presence and focus him as we strive for a closer relationship with him. Again, the intimacy that we have with the Lord and his confirmations will come as we continue to seek him. We'll hear his voice, kind of like, you know, if you have a spouse or your parents, you know what your father's voice sounds like. You know what your mother's voice sounds like, especially, you know, if you're raised by them. If you're married, you know what your wife or your husband sounds like. Your children, you know what they sound like. You're used to them. And so the Lord's going to say, yeah, I want you to get used to my voice. I want you to get used to my plan, my purpose. I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be so he can use you, you know, as part of that. And one of the things that can help us is reading our Bible. It can help build our close relationship with the Lord. The Bible can play a very significant role in strengthening our relationship with God. I love that, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As seen in the story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15, 11 through 32, this parable depicts a story of a young man who leaves home to live extravagantly. You know, he went crazy, man. Only later to realize, hey, he made a mistake and he wants to return home to his forgiving father. This story reminds us that God's unconditional love and forgiveness, no matter of our mistakes or distance for him, he wants us to know that we have unconditional love from him and that he'll forgive everything. You know, even if we think we've done the unforgivable sin, you know, by blaspheming him. Most of us haven't, by the way. It's a very intentional thing that we know exactly what we're doing. We'll share about that in another video as well. But by studying the Bible, we have an opportunity to learn about God's character, his promises, and his will for our lives. This knowledge can deepen our understanding of God and foster a close relationship with him. Reading the Bible and praying regularly can also provide comfort and guidance in our daily lives. You know, it says the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. It has much effect in God's kingdom. So prayer is going to be important. And, you know, and a lot of times what we'll do is, well, we don't know how to pray sometimes. So what we'll do is we'll just do our best. And so the Lord's going to share with you, it's time to learn how to pray. It's time to, instead of just trying to do our best, it's time to take his instruction that he gave to us. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he gave us over 50 commandments, you know, to love our Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. He gave us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, cast out demons, speak with new tongues. He told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Before we get our offering, you know, to make sure that we make amends before we give our gift. There's all these things that he's asking us to do, and he's going to help you in those processes. So get ready for what Jesus is doing in this new season. I'm going to be sharing next week as well more about the intimacy with God and getting close with him, how we can do it, as well as I'm going to be anxious to see what the Lord's done with you as you've tried have fostered in and read and made a dedication to read the Gospels of Matthew throughout the entire month, starting today. I know it's a late start for the video, but boy, I tell you, a lot of things have been going on. The enemy's trying everything he can to get this message not to get out there. But praise God, the message is coming out, and the Lord's bringing in this encouraging word. So just in conclusion here, reading the Bible can be a valuable tool in helping us grow closer to God and in our faith. By taking time to read and reflect on his teachings, we can gain a deeper understanding of God, his will, and what it means to be a follower of Christ. So I encourage you guys again, start today by reading your Bible. And start in the Gospel of Matthew, do chapter 1. Do a bit of Bible study on there. Turn on your favorite worship as well. Spend some time with the Lord. Make inside your daily planner 3 times a day to spend time with Jesus. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Maybe it's different times for you, but he's going to ask you to spend time with him. And as well, he's going to be sharing with you pieces of the next steps as you're spending time with him. He's going to tell you what your ministry is for this new year. Spend time with them, ask them, hey, what do you want me to do for the new year, Lord? What do you want me to do for you? How can I help establish your kingdom? Watch him say, hey, I want you to evangelize. I want you to share this. I want you to do that. And you're like, ah, so he'll give you help as part of this. Well, we're going to be praying for you, lifting you up in prayer. I know the Lord is with you. Let's close in prayer here. And on the blog as well, it's great. We have a wonderful prayer to help keep us intimate there. We're not going to do the same prayer here. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Lord, we thank you for another great day, for today's the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Father, as well, thank you for being with them this month, Lord, tugging on their heart to make a plan of attack, to have it put in their schedule, to make sure that They are going to be consistent in doing this for the next 28 days. They're going to read your Bible. They're going to read through the Gospel of Matthew and learn more about you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for bringing revelation knowledge to them, coming through, showing who you are through your word. Come alive, Logos, Lord, Rhema word, Lord. Thank you for bringing in your Rhema word and let it come alive. Father, as well, this month here, that they're going to continue to seek you, ask you what you have planned for them, what you're wanting to do prophetically through them, how do you want to use them as an example, as their witness. And Lord, they're to find that all by seeking you, Lord. Lord, you shared that if we seek you, we will find you. Lord, as well, as you're bringing in this year of abundance, Lord, will you bring in abundance for them as well? Let them be a doer, Lord. Let them listen to your heart, and let them start tithing today to their church right now, Lord, and that they'll make a vow of faith to you, Lord, that they are going to dedicate their finances in their worship to you this month, that they're going to pay their tithe to their church. Lord, that you're going to search them out as part of this year of abundance. Lord, that you're going to tug on their heart to find local places to give to the needy, to the marginalized, to the poor, to the orphans, to the widows, to the battered women, to the homeless, Lord. Let them find out those places. Let them seek you and finding the best place where they can put in their seed. Lord, as well, whatever you tell them to do above and beyond that, this ministry, other ministries out there that they're being blessed by, Lord, thank you for bringing in that blessing. And Lord, we know that when they give above and beyond this year here, you shared that when they give above and beyond, you see that they're extending their faith, like the parable of the mustard seed. And Lord, you are growing, and as well as taking mountains and moving them in their lives and bringing in a financial blessing that they can't contain. Thank you for bringing in that blessing to them as they make a vow of faith to you, that they're going to decree a thing, something that's going on in their life. They're going to decree about it and make that vow of faith and give that financial offering to their church or wherever you put it on their heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you for helping them, Lord. You saw here on earth that widow woman, she gave this that small offering, you know. And Jesus says she gave so much more than the rich people because it was out of her lack that she gave. Lord, if you recognize what you did here on earth, how much more, Lord? We know that our Heavenly Father is watching what we do. We thank you that you're bringing in this financial blessing to them, getting their heart ready as well. This intimacy with you, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I look forward in the next blog, video, whatever it's going to be. We're having one next week as well, sharing the next word that the Lord's doing for this next week. So pay attention and watch and stay tuned. I look forward to seeing you in the next video. Have a blessed day, guys.